I wonder if we could turn our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark for our scripture reading, and to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to read from verse 46. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 46 of the chapter. Verse 46 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing again to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the ministry and song already tonight. We thank thee that Christ is the King of all kings. And our God, we pray that we might crown him as Lord of all in our hearts. We pray that he might be the Lord and King of our lives and in all that we do. And we pray for thy mighty blessing to be upon us as we seek thy face. Draw near to us, our God, and we'd ask thee that thy blessing would be upon thy word at the end of our meeting just now. We pray that thy word might find its way into hearts, and that thou would speak through it to each one. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. 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 Our Lord Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem just before his death. It was a journey that was more triumphant than any other journey that he had taken. But we know that while he was going to the Passover, he's going up to Jerusalem for the time of the Passover, that he will go to the cross. He was really going to his death as he was making his way up to Jerusalem. He made his way across the Jordan from the region of Perea. There he had healed a woman bowed down under an infirmity for 18 years. And now he is on his way through Jericho. We read that as he goes through Jericho, first of all, he meets a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And he goes into his house. And Zacchaeus is saved by the grace of God. And then we read that he makes his way outside of Jericho. And there he meets a man by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. Now, there is something of a discrepancy between some of the gospel accounts. We read that in Mark and in Matthew, it states that this miracle took place while the Lord was leaving Jericho. But Luke's gospel says that the healing of Bartimaeus took place when the Lord was entering into the city. But, of course, there is a very reasonable explanation for that, because there were two Jerichos in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably it was that Matthew and Mark, they were thinking about the old city of Jerusalem or Jericho. And both cities, of course, were 15 miles just outside of Jerusalem. But the old city by this time had more or less fallen into ruins. This is the city of Joshua, the city that the walls had fallen. But there had been a new city of Jericho that had been built by Herod. This was a new modern city for the time. It was a very pleasant city. And there were two cities of Jericho. So The Lord was making his way out of one and was going into the other. And you can find the explanation when you look at the circumstances. But it is interesting that the Lord is only recorded as once having gone into Jericho. Jericho was a city under a curse. You remember how that in Joshua 6 and 26, there was a curse put upon that city. Joshua said, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho." And we read that in the reign of King Ahab, a man by the name of Hiel the Bethelite had sought to rebuild the city of Jericho. And he had started, and his firstborn son had died. And when he finished, his other son died. And the curse was played out. And many have said that it is for that reason that only on this necessity of making his way up to Jerusalem that the Lord ever went into the city of Jericho. But only being there once, this is the one opportunity for Zacchaeus, and this is the one opportunity for blind Bartimaeus. The Lord had never been in Jericho before, and he's never going to be in Jericho again, as far as this scene of time is concerned. And so here is the great gospel opportunity for this man, blind Bartimaeus. Is he going to make use of the opportunity? Is he going to come and call upon the Lord? For men and women, there is an opportunity for you. There is a fleeting opportunity, a passing opportunity. You may have more opportunities than the one. But there is coming a time when every opportunity will have been used by you. So the urgency of the gospel is very real. The fact that you need to make use of every gospel opportunity is a self-evident truth. And we have the Lord Jesus passing that way. And thank God for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ met blind Bartimaeus. That was a red letter day in the life of this man, as we'll see. And oh, thank God it can be a red letter day for you in this meeting. This can be the day of your salvation, the day when you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so tonight, we just want to take a little time and we want to look at blind Bartimaeus, the man who is brought out of darkness into light. And I want you to see what we can learn about the time of gospel opportunity. And the first thing that I want you to see as we look at blind Bartimaeus is his pathetic condition. Look at verse 46 as we're introduced to him here in Mark chapter 10. And we read, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Now we have a short introduction there, but I want you to see that it very clearly indicates the pathetic condition that this man is in. You'll see, first of all, that he's blind. Bartimaeus was not partially blind. He was not a little bit blind. He was wholly blind. And it indicates that he'd been blind from his birth. He'd never seen his mother, never seen the smile of his mother, never seen the stars, never beheld the beauty of the colours of the flowers or the butterflies, never looked up into the sky and saw the beautiful blueness of a sunny day, never saw the rainbows, never saw the trees, the little children. He'd never beheld any of these things. He was in total blindness and in total darkness in all of his life. He never saw the joy of seeing a smile, never was able to see the joy of seeing the laughter of someone, although he could hear it. This was the world that he lived in. It was a world of utter blackness and darkness. And dear friend, the Bible speaks about the spiritual darkness of men and women. We read in the Sermon on the Mount about the words of the Savior and how he spoke about how he was the light of the world. And you know, dear friend, you have never seen the light of the world. In your darkness, The Bible says that the devil had blinded the minds of the eyes of those that believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. You're in darkness tonight. The problem is that for many who are in spiritual darkness, not only do they not realize that they're in spiritual darkness, but they think that they're in the light. This is the awful thing. Spurgeon pointed that out, how that many people are dwelling in the darkness of sin, and they are so dark that they think that they're in the light. And sometimes even there are those that look upon God's people, those that have seen the light of the gospel, have been brought into the light of the one who is the light of the world, and they look upon us as if we are in the darkness, that we are in some way not in the light. And people today, and perhaps as you in this meeting tonight, and you think that you have the light of knowledge and the light of understanding, dear friend, I want to tell you tonight that you're in darkness. H.G. Wells once wrote a story about a man who climbed up over the mountains. And he came into a secluded land where the people were all blind. And this man, in the midst of the blindness, began to describe to the people who had never seen anything the beauty of the flowers and about the wonder of the sky. And as he described all these wonders that they could not see, instead of enlightening them, instead of helping them, instead of bringing them to understanding, the people in the darkness got mad. They got angry, and they couldn't understand this strange man that was speaking about things that they'd never seen or couldn't understand. And so they decided that the problem was the protuberances that were beneath the brow of this man, and that the only solution was that they would cut these things out. And the man began to realize what was happening, and so he escaped back over the mountains and got out of that land. You know, there are many people who are so blind that they cannot see, and they become mad when you speak about the light or indicate that there is something beyond, something out there, something spiritual. They were speaking about a land that you cannot understand. And so instead of bringing you into light, it brings you into anger and into wrath and into annoyance. Maybe you're annoyed tonight as we speak about the light of the gospel. You have come to the place where you're not only not seeking these things, but you reject the light that we're talking about. In World War One, in 1914 to 18 war, there were many men, and of course in those days there was no health service, and many of the men who went into the service, they had never had glasses before, and they were given an eye test. And they were told that they needed glasses and be able to see. And every one of them was given a pair of glasses. But you know what happened? Many of them cast the glasses away because they'd become so used to their short-sightedness and so used to the blurred vision that they couldn't put up with the clarity of the world that was around them. And maybe tonight you in this meeting, and I want you to face this, you are in darkness. And maybe the very light of the gospel is something that comes as a challenge to you. It comes as something that annoys you. Here's a man that was blind, and it is a description of men in their sin, spiritually blind, in darkness. Dear friend, I want you to recognize that darkness. But not only was the man blind, but I want you to see that he was a beggar. Because of his physical condition, blind Bartimaeus couldn't work. He was prevented from finding a job. He was not able to earn a living. And so he had to rely upon the charitable giving of others. He was sitting outside of the city, really asking for alms. He was begging by the wayside. And he was totally dependent upon the generosity of others in order to supply him a living. And the Bible speaks about him as a beggar. And here he is. There were no welfare programs. There were no charitable institutions. There was no social security. And here he is. It is pitiful. and wretched condition. His blindness had brought him poverty. And it's the same with the spiritual man outside of Christ. In your blindness brings you into poverty. There is no real satisfaction. There is no real lasting deep down joy outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, you are in a spiritual poverty tonight. You are in a place where there is nothing that you can do. Like blind Bartimaeus, there's no work that you can do. There's no effort that you can make in order to bring yourself out of this condition. You are stuck in this condition of sin. There's no way out. You're dependent upon others. You're dependent upon the preaching of the gospel. You're dependent upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way out of your condition. You need someone to heal you. You need somebody to bring you spiritual help. I'm glad that there's help tonight. There's help from my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was blind. This man was a beggar. But is there something else here in this portion of Scripture? I think that this man was belittled. Because you notice his name. His name is Bartimaeus. Now, the name Bartimaeus just means the son of Timaeus. And that is the way that he was called. That's the way that he was known. And I wonder, had his parents not named him? I wonder if it was the situation that his parents saw a blind child, one who could never earn, one who could never bring them grandchildren, one who would never be married in normal circumstances. This blind child who's just going to be a drag upon them, who is just going to be someone that we're going to have to finance and help. I wonder, is he just known as the son of Timaeus? He's no other name. He's belittled. He's belittled. There's nobody to love him. Nobody to help him. And dear friend, maybe you're feeling that this evening. No man cares for my soul. But I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ passes by. The Lord Jesus Christ loved this man. The Lord Jesus Christ came to help this man. And he will help you too. You might feel as if you're nothing as far as the world is concerned. But dear friend, you are valued in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. We see his pathetic condition. But then I want you to see something else about blind Bartimaeus. Look at his pressing cry. Even though he was blind, thank God he was able to see things that others couldn't see, and he was able to cry out. And I want you to notice here how he cries out to the Savior. Notice the person to whom he cried. Look at what it says in verses 47 and 48. It says, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he had cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now I want you to see that this man obviously has a remarkable messianic insight. He calls the Lord Jesus by the name of the Messiah, the son of David. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now this is a remarkable thing, because you will find in the Gospels that the Lord at this time was really hiding his messianic claims. Turn back a couple of chapters to Mark chapter 8. And if you look at verses 27 to 30, the Lord Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi. And it says, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto them, Thou art the Christ. So Peter gets it right. He says, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the Anointed One. But I want you to see what the Lord Jesus does when Peter says, Thou art the Christ. Look at verse 30. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. At this time, the Lord is concealing his messianic credentials. But I want you to see that even though this is a time when the Lord is concealing his messianic credentials, this blind man has enough sight to see that this is the Messiah. And moreover, he knows that this Messiah is able to heal. He knows from Isaiah 65 that the Messiah is one who will heal. He understands that the promised Son of David is one who will come and restore all things. And among the all things that he'll restore is the eyesight of the blind. And this is the first step. He is willing to trust. He knows that this Messiah, this Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah, and he has power to deliver him from the very depths of the trouble that he's in. And that's the first thing that you need to recognize. You need to see that all power is given unto Christ. All power is given unto me, he says, in heaven and in earth. And he's able to save the vilest sinner. Not only do we notice the person to whom he cried, but look at the passion with which he cried. He comes by faith. And the faith gives him passion in his cry because he believes that this Jesus of Nazareth is able to do something for him. Now, we don't know how he came to know that. He was not able to see. Others were able to see miracles that the Lord had done. They were able to discern the mighty power of Christ as he had given sight to the blind and as he had raised the dead and so on and so forth. Blind Bartimaeus could not see. But obviously along the line somebody had told him. Perhaps a blind man, their hearing is very keen. And he had overheard the conversations of the people passing by. He probably had heard of Jesus of Nazareth coming. There was a stir in the country as the Lord Jesus was passing by. They were saying who this Jesus of Nazareth was. They probably had spoken about Zacchaeus and what had happened in the town. And they were able to tell all this. And this blind man discerns that this is one to whom he can call. And he cries out with all his heart. He cries out with all his might, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Dear friend, he's able to save you. If you by faith will believe that, then cry out by faith. Come to him by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this man had seen his need. And he saw that this was his opportunity. This was the time. This Jesus that he'd heard about was there, right there, passing him by. And he cries out, this is my opportunity. He knows that it is his opportunity. And he saw that this opportunity could easily pass him by. He knew that the Lord Jesus was within earshot now, but very soon he'd be out of earshot. This is his one opportunity. He saw that this opportunity might never return again, and it didn't. The Lord Jesus was going to the cross. He was never going to be in Jericho again. And with all of those things, he cries out with passion. I want to say, dear friend, if you were just to see that it is your maybe one and only opportunity, and if you were to recognize that the Lord Jesus is able to save you from your sin, he's able to give you a home in heaven, he's able to give you eternal life and redemption, if you were able to see what the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do for you, then you would cry out with passion. Now I want you to see that those who were with the Lord Jesus tried to stop him. They tried to stop the cries of this man. You know, when you have that determination to cry out and call upon the name of the Lord, there are always, the devil will always send those who will try to stop you. They were saying to him, oh, don't make such a stir. Don't be crying out. Don't be making such a noise in the midst of all of this. Don't make a fool of yourself. Is that what the devil is saying to you? They say to you, if you were to come to Christ, you'd make a fool of yourself. Oh, be quiet. Just wait for another time. Dear friend, you might be afraid of rebuke. You might be afraid of criticism. But dear friend, that fear could land you in a Christless eternity. That fear could land you in a Christless hell. You need to cry out. There was passion in his cry because he knew that this was a life and death situation as far as he was concerned. It is for you. But there's one more thing that I want you to see. Not only the person whom he cried and the passion with which he cried, but look at the provision that he received, because the Lord answered his call. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is passing by. This, to many people, is just an old beggar by the roadside. Just a blind man. Maybe he was there day after day. Many people passed him by, never paid him any attention. But the Lord paid him attention. And the Lord answered his call. And the Lord stopped. Stopped in the middle of his road going to Jerusalem. Going to the cross. He stops for blind Bartimaeus. Dear friend, the Lord will stop for you. Stop for you. The very God of heaven, as it were, will stop for you. He is the one who's made the whole universe, but he will stop for you if you will come to him. Not only did the Lord stop, but the Lord called for him. Here is the wonderful thing. There's a call, and he says to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You know, if the Lord was to ask you that, I wonder what you'd say. What do you want the Lord to do for you? If you were given the opportunity, what would you want the Lord to do for you? Bartimaeus says, that I might receive my sight. It's the obvious thing. And thank God that the Lord was there to provide for him. He's here to provide for you tonight. But not only do I want you to see his pathetic condition and his pressing cry, but I want you to see the perfect cure. I want you to see the remarkable transformation in Bartimaeus' life. Look at verse 52. It says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I want you to see, the Lord says to him, go, go. Now he'd been sitting there for many years probably. He had not been able to move probably very far without some assistance. He probably had somebody to come bring him out and bring him back in again. But the Lord says, go, go thy way. Go thy way. Go where you want to go. You see, he's given freedom now. Freedom that he'd never had before. And we think of wonderful blessing that the Savior gave to this man. And he says, go, you are healed. And dear friend, wouldn't it be wickedness for you not to call upon the Savior who is willing to meet your need? Wouldn't it be a sinful thing? Wouldn't it be a sort of a slight upon the loveliness of his character and upon the loveliness of the beauty of his personality if you are to reject? If blind Bartimaeus was to say to the Savior, ah, go away. Go away. The Lord comes and says to this man, what wilt thou? Blind Bartimaeus, ah, go away. Well, what a rejection that would have been. The Savior is in a meeting like this. And he says, what wilt thou? What's your answer to the Savior? But I want you to see where he did go. The Lord said to him, go thy way. Go where you want to go. Where did he go? Well, we are told that he followed the Savior. There is a change in his life. And he follows the Lord in the way that the Lord wants, as the Lord goes up to Jerusalem. Blind Bartimaeus comes with him. Look at verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Immediately he received his sight. And this is the way that he went. He followed Jesus in the way. He went with the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem. He went with the Lord Jesus to Calvary. He went with the Lord Jesus as the Lord made that final journey there to the cross. He was there in the triumphant entry. He was there at the time when the Lord Jesus was taken by wicked men. He was there when they hung him on the cross. Blind Bartimaeus saw all these things. What remarkable things he saw. But I want you to see what he did. He followed Jesus. And that's the change that takes place in those that are the Saviors. They follow the Lord Jesus in the way. And here is the impossible that took place. And I want you to see that it took place immediately. It says immediately. Just all of a sudden. There's no need for binding of the eyes. There's no need for ointments to be put upon the eyes or anything else. Immediately, he receives a sight. Thank God for the mighty power of the gospel. We see the perfect cure. But one more thing that I want you to see, and that's the particular chance. One chance. One time that the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by. One opportunity. One time for blind Bartimaeus. How many times, how many opportunities have you had? You know, the term opportunity is really a Latin term. It comes from the shipping world, from the sailing world. You see, the term in the Latin language was for a ship that was waiting for the flood tide to bring it into the port. And when the ship was waiting for the flood tide to bring it into the port, it was in the Latin ob porto. And from that we have our word opportunity. Dear friend, as it were, you are outside of the port, waiting to get into the haven, get it into the place of safety, to be brought into the place of rest. And dear friend, you're waiting for the flood tide. The flood tide will bring you in to the haven of rest. But dear friend, don't be presuming upon many flood tides. This is the flood tide of God's opportunity. You come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come tonight. Come tonight and find him as your Savior and your Lord. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity that there is in the gospel. We're glad, our God, that there is that flood tide of God's blessing that brings sinners into the port. We pray, Lord, that men and women might, as it were, sail upon God's flood tide tonight, and that they might come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could turn to the last hymn there, 233, once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. If God has been speaking to you tonight, then you come, put your trust. This is your opportunity. You come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we pray that men, women might look and live tonight. Bless thy word and speak on, we pray of thee. Separate us in thy fear and with thy blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with thy people both now and in the incoming days, for Jesus' sake. Amen.